Book of Revelation, chapter number 17, and we're going to read a few verses over there, Revelation chapter number 17. But once again, we would like to say it's good to have all our visitors today. We have several, and we're glad you're here, and we appreciate those that come to visit, and we just want you to make yourselves at home, and it's good to see our home folk. I thought when I got here this morning it was a little slim, but it sort of filled in, and so we're just glad to be here. Revelation chapter 7. I might have said 17, but Revelation chapter 7. And we're going to begin reading in verse number 9, and we'll read through the end of the chapter, and then we'll go to the Lord in prayer. Revelation chapter 7, verse number 9, the Bible said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing, and glory, and wisdom, and thanksgiving, and honor, and power, and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes? And whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Let's pray. Lord, we are thankful to be here today. I'm thankful for all the blessings you've given to us. I pray and I ask that you just continue to be in the service, Lord, that you would just bless and help as only you can. And Lord, I want to thank you for the good testimonies we heard this morning before Sunday school and the good singing. And Lord, it's already been a great blessing to be here. My heart's been stirred and helped. And I thank you for that. And I pray, Lord, that you'd speak to our hearts from your word. I pray you'd make it easy today and give liberty to preach. And Lord, help us as thy people and just have your way. Lord, we'll thank you for all that you do, and we come asking for your help right now. We ask it in Jesus' name, and amen. Let's go back and read verse number 14. I'm just sort of starting here today in Revelation chapter 7. I'm going to look at a couple of other places, but I want to read beginning in verse number 14. "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." And what we're reading about in Revelation chapter number 7 is a heavenly scene. It is something that is going to take place in the future. And it is something that describes what is going on in heaven. And so this is something that we have to look forward to as the children of God. But there is some things I want to point out about this chapter. There's a great multitude there. I don't know if you noticed in verse number 9, the Bible said, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude which no man could number." And this great multitude were involved in praising and thanking the Lord. They were clothed in white garments. They were singing with a loud voice. It's sort of like we were studying on Wednesday night where they cried, "Hosanna, blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord." There's a very similar scene that is going on here, and these people are praising the Lord and they're thanking the Lord for all that he's done for for them. And in verse number 13, the Bible said, "And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they?" And the question is asked, who are these people? Where did they come from? How did they get here? That's sort of what's being asked in verse number 13. Verse 14, the Bible said, "And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they that came out of great tribulation." They are Christian people. They're saved people. The Bible said in the last part of verse 14, "And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." These people that we're reading about here, the Bible says that they came out of great tribulation. They got there. They came through a great tribulation. I want to try to preach today on the subject of trouble, and specifically the purpose of trouble. Now, in the Bible, if you study about trouble, there's some different words that are used. They're in the same category. They basically mean the same thing. There's the word trouble, as we read here. There's the word tribulation in the Bible. We read about suffering in the Bible. We read about afflictions in the Bible. We read about temptations in the Bible, trials in the Bible. All these things are talking about the subject of trouble. You might think, first of all, today, well, I wanted to come today. I'd like to get a blessing. I'd rather hear about something other than trouble. Maybe you didn't come to church saying, "I'd like to hear a message on trouble today." But it can be encouraging once we see what the Bible has to say about it. You see, trouble by itself is an ugly thing. It's an awful thing. But if you put it in the right frame, the frame of the Word of God, and you look at it through the eyes of the Word of God or what the Bible says, then trouble, it looks different. It's the way a lot of things. You can have a picture and put a nice frame around it, changes the whole picture, just the way the frame is. And so if we learn to frame our lives by the Word of God, it'll look different. It'll look different to us than it does somebody in the world that is not looking at it through what the Bible says. For example, Jesus said in John 16, verse 33, He said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." See, that puts it in a different frame, does it? In the world, you are going to have tribulation. My grandpa was a preacher. And a lot of times people would ask him, they'd say, "Brother Clyde, how's the world treating you?" And he would say, "Well, the world treats me pretty bad, but the Lord treats me so good, it makes up for it." See, put it in the right frame, it's not so bad. Jesus said, "In the world ye shall have tribulation." You're going to have trouble. You're going to have suffering. You're going to have afflictions, trials, all of these things. But be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Puts it in a different frame. Paul said in Romans chapter 8, verse 18, he said, "For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us." The sufferings of this present time, they are not even in comparison to what is going to come in the future time. And so we learn to look at things through the eyes or through the frame of the Word of God. And we're going to look at trouble today. First of all, I want to point out there is the fact of trouble. There's the fact of trouble. The Bible said in verse number 14, it said, "And he said to me, These are they which came out of great tribulation." All of this great multitude, all of these people, which the Bible said in verse number 9, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, out of all of these people, all of this great multitude, they all came out of great tribulation. What I'm saying this morning, nobody got there on flowery beds of ease. They all had to go through tribulation. Every one of the great multitude. There are no exemptions from trouble. If anybody thinks, "Well, if I get saved, if I become a child of God, my life will be easy and I won't have any more trouble," I'm sorry to tell you, you're wrong about that. There's no exemptions from the subject of trouble. There's no such thing for anyone not to have trouble. Nobody says, I don't think I've ever had any trouble. If somebody said that, you'd know they were lying. We all have trouble. You may not have any trouble right this second. You may look around and say, well, I think everything's all right, and it might be. Now, if that's your case, you don't have to worry about it. Trouble will eventually come. You don't have to worry, will I ever have any trouble? It will come to you, and it comes to everybody. It comes to babies. Sometimes babies are born into this world and they're in trouble. Maybe their health is bad. Maybe their situation is bad or something like that. Little children get cancer and young people die and there's accidents and old people and sweet people and mean people. And I mean everybody has trouble. Nobody in the whole wide world is exempt from the subject of trouble. If you want one thing that absolutely does not discriminate, it is trouble. It comes to everybody. And it comes to us throughout our lives, over and over throughout our lives. Now, I want you to look in the book of Job. That is right before the book of Psalms. And most all Bible teachers, and I would agree, if my opinion counted for anything, would agree that the book of Job is actually the oldest book in the Bible. It's not the first book. The first book is Genesis. But the oldest book in the Bible is the book of Job. And so we go into the book of Job, and I want you to look in chapter number 3, and I want to point out something about what Job had to say about trouble. Now, if you know anything about the book of Job, he had a lot of trouble. And I've been in church before, and the preacher said, turn in your Bibles to the book of Job, and I wanted to get up and run out of the service. Does that mean I'm getting ready to have some trouble in my life, and so the Word of God is preparing me? I don't know today. But the oldest book in the Bible, Job, what did Job have to say about trouble? I want to read just a few verses. This is after the majority of the trouble had already come into his life. And this is the first thing that Job has to say about it. Let's read in Job chapter 3. We'll start in verse maybe 24. He said, for my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like the waters. He started sighing before breakfast. He had so much trouble. Verse 25, he said, for the thing which I greatly feared is come upon me. And that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet, yet trouble came. Hey, he said, I wasn't doing anything to deserve it. I wasn't expecting it. I wasn't looking for it. But he said, there it was, and trouble came. That's what we can say about trouble today. It comes. It comes to all of us. Job said over in chapter 14, verse number 1, he said, man that is born of woman is few days and full of trouble. It is a universal fact of life. It comes to all of us sooner or later. And the quicker that we recognize and acknowledge that, the better we'll get along in life. Trouble's going to come. The fact of trouble. Number 2. There's the fount of trouble. Now look at in Job chapter 5. What the Bible says over there, the fount of trouble. Job chapter number 5, verses 6 and 7. We'll read these two verses. This is one of Job's friends. And here's what he had to say about trouble. Job chapter 5, verse 6, he said, although affliction cometh not forth of the dust, neither doth trouble spring out of the ground. Yet man is born unto trouble as the sparks fly upward. Now think about that. I think in my mind, these men may be sitting around the campfire at night. And they're talking about life and talking about what happens and talking about, you know, where does trouble come from? And one of them observes that when they build the fire, the sparks fly upward. There's no other. It's just the way it is. And somebody says that's how man's troubles are. He's born under trouble. Just like the sparks fly up into, we are all going to have trouble. The fount of trouble is going to come. And trouble, the thing about trouble is that trouble can show up at any time, anywhere, for any reason or no reason at all. And if we attempted to put into a category all the different ways to describe trouble, I'd fall well short this morning. I don't have time to deal with all the Bible has to say about trouble. But if we tried to put it into a few categories today, we could say that trouble comes sometimes of our own self. A lot of times you look at the trouble in your life and you inspect it and think about it and ask yourself, why did this happen? And you look at it real close and you look down at the bottom of the page and what you'll find out is your signature's at the bottom. You say, how come this happened in my life? And we say sometimes, well, it's my fault. It's my fault. I'm the one, whether it's through sin, whether it's through carelessness in our part, whether it's through ignorance, we've done something we just didn't know. But we can look back and say, it's my fault. And a lot of times that's where the trouble in our lives come from. Sometimes trouble comes as a result of other people's actions. You can be driving down the road and you're paying attention and minding your business and watching everybody, and next thing you know, somebody has run all over the top of you, wrecked into you. They were texting, they were on the phone, they were careless, they broke the law, they were doing this or doing that. You were just minding your own business, but you got involved in somebody else's trouble. It wasn't your fault. Sometimes you're doing, but somebody in your family is causing you all kinds of trouble. Sometimes it's because of others. Sometimes it comes from the Lord. The Bible said in Psalms 119, verse 71, the psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. You think about that. The psalmist said, it is good for me that I have been afflicted. Verse 75, he said, I know, O Lord, that thy judgments are right, and that thou in faithfulness hast afflicted me. I was reading over this week in my daily Bible reading, and I finished up the book of Hebrews, and he talks over there in chapter number 12 about the chastening of the Lord, that the Lord loves, the Lord chastens those whom he loves, and the Lord chastens his children. That means, what's that mean, chastens? That means sometimes the Lord gives you a spanking. Sometimes the Lord allows something to come into your life by way of discipline to get you back where the Lord knows you need to be as one of his children. And so sometimes the Lord allows chastening to come into our life. The Lord is not against us. The Lord is for us. Sometimes the Lord has to chasten us. Maybe it's a word that gets the job done. Sometimes you might go to church and you hear a message, and sometimes people say, well, that stepped on my toes, that convicted me, that's the Lord. Amen. Sometimes just a word. If you're wise, you'll listen to the word of the Lord. It'll save you a whole lot of trouble, but sometimes we don't listen. And God has to allow circumstances to come into our life. Sometimes it's of the Lord. Sometimes our troubles are of satanic origin. Sometimes it is the devil. If you read and know anything about the book of Job, everything that went on in Job's life was because of the devil. The devil came along. I mean, chapter 1, chapter number 2, they're short chapters. Read them when you get home. Job never knew. Here's the thing about the book of Job. Job didn't know what we know. Job could not see what was going on behind the scenes. But Job lost what we would say everything. He lost fortune. He lost family. I mean, he had children die because of that. He lost favor with his friends. He lost his health. Boy, your health is a blessing. Job ended up sitting down there covered with boils, taking a piece of broken pottery and scratching his wounds, and his so-called friends came by and accused him and said, Job, there's bound to be some sin in your life. Job had not sinned. His troubles were from the devil. They were satanic in origin. One thing we can say about Job, chapter 1, verse 22, the Bible said, in all this Job sinned not, nor charged God foolishly. Job never knew what was going on. But what mattered in the life of Job was his reaction, how he reacted to his troubles. And all of our troubles are the same way. The third thing I want to point out there is the force of trouble. And we're talking about getting down to why does it come? There's the fact of trouble and there's the fount of trouble, but there's the force of trouble. Trouble demands a reaction. I mean, when trouble comes, you have to do something about it. Now, Wednesday evening, I got bee stung. I've already mentioned that. I'm not going to go through something like that and not going to get something out of it. I was minding my own business. And I went out to throw some scraps out where we always do. And I just walked back by the beehives there. And I noticed that some of them had died. Maybe they were having a funeral and I interrupted it. I don't know. But I wasn't messing with them. I just stopped and looked. And when I stopped and looked, and I really wasn't even very close, one of those bees came out and stung me right on the forehead. And that bee sting that happened, I mean, I pretty much knew what I could expect was going to happen. But now I could have stood there and tried to find somebody to blame. Them's Abigail and Jackson's bees. And I told her all the goodwill that I'd put on that boy's account went out the door when that bee stung me on the forehead. I could have stood out there and blamed them. If they didn't have the bees, I wouldn't have got stung. It's their fault. I could have went through that. I could have stood out there and thought about that, well, I shouldn't have been standing there. What did I do to bother the bees? Did I make them mad? I could have thought a whole lot about that. I could have, I blamed it Wednesday night. I said, the devil done that, didn't I? I said, the devil was in that bee trying to keep me from coming to church. I had been studying all day, thinking about what I was going to preach on, that we need to have a prayer meeting, and that had been on my mind. And so I blamed it on the devil. It could have been the Lord allowed it to happen. Maybe the Lord was in the whole thing. Here's what I'm saying this morning. At that point, it really doesn't matter whose fault it is. What does it matter to try to blame and try to point here and sometimes even try to figure out why something happened? The point is that trouble forces us to do something. I did not have time to stand there and blame this person or myself or try to figure out. I had to do something, and first thing I wanted to do is get in the house and get that stinger out. See, that's how trouble is. Trouble, it upsets our routine. It shoves us out of our comfort zone. I could have stood out there and said, Lord, I don't have time for this. I'm too busy. I've got stuff going on. But that is the nature of trouble. When trouble comes, it forces us that we have to deal with it. Trouble is a force. God does use trouble. He is not always the author of trouble. In fact, most of the time, I'd say the Lord's not. But God does use trouble in our lives, and we have to deal with it when it comes. Job had to deal with his trouble. Boy, you read about Job, and he had a lot of trouble. On top of losing his children, on top of losing his fortune, on top of losing his health, his wife come along and said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Boy, what, I've thought about that a lot. That'd be a real blessing, wouldn't it? Then his friends come along and accused him. Job had to deal with all of that stuff. Not to mention what was going on in his own mind when he said in chapter 3 and verse 26, this trouble came. It just came and I had to deal with it. If you read and study about Joseph in the Bible, he had all kinds of troubles. Wasn't his fault. He was trying to do right. His brethren were jealous. They took him. They sold him into slavery down into Egypt. Can you imagine how mean? I mean, you talk about being mean, buddy. That was mean. To take your own flesh and blood, and here's young Joseph, a slave, a servant down in Egypt, far away. He had all kinds of trouble. He didn't give up. He just dealt with it. And then more trouble came in his life. And every time trouble came, he had to deal with it. That is the nature of trouble. Blaming other people actually does no good. You may know and you may not know really whose fault it is. You may not be able to discern, is this from the Lord or is Satan attacking me? Worrying about trouble does absolutely no good, but that's what we do a lot of times. You can't do anything about it, but, well, we worry about it. A lot of times trouble comes and we just try to ignore it. But you can't ignore it forever. You eventually have to do something about it depending upon what type of trouble it is. It upsets our lives and gets us out of normal, and trouble comes along and declares that there is an emergency and it is an unstoppable thing and an unpredictable thing and it is never convenient. Is there ever a good time to have trouble? Does anybody look at their calendar and say, "Well, I've got time for some trouble this week. I'll mark off Wednesday through Saturday and have some trouble." You never have time for trouble. It's never a convenient thing, but it is many times a life-altering fact of life. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians 10 and 13, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, but God is faithful." There's no temptation, there's no trouble come to any of us but such as is common to man. What that means is, although trouble is of an infinite variety, I mean, trouble never gets boring, does it? We rarely say, "Well, that's just the same old." I mean, it's something, that's how we say it. It's something all the time. Something different all the time. The Lord can use anything to accomplish His purposes in our life, but it's all common to man. What's happened to one of us has probably happened to a lot of us. Nobody goes through things and they're the only one. And sometimes people think, "Well, I'm the only one to ever go." No, you're not. No, you're not. Here's what Peter said, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6. He said, "Humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you." What are you going to do with your trouble? Cast it on the Lord. He cares for you. Verse 8 says, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world." Peter is saying this, knowing that the same afflictions, everybody else goes through the same thing. You say, "Well, the devil's bothering me." Well, guess what? He bothers me too. He bothers preachers and grandmas and young couples and young children and teenagers. He bothers all of us. It's just in a different way, at different times throughout our life. But trouble is common to man. Trouble is something that comes to all of us. And we have to deal with it when it comes. There's the force of trouble. Then number four, last of all this morning, this is really getting down to the purpose. There's the fruit of trouble. The fruit of trouble. Now, fruit, it can be good or it can be bad. Can it not? It can be sweet or it can be sour. Talking about the fruit of trouble. Trouble completely depends on how we receive it as to whether it's going to be good or bad fruit. It totally depends on how we react to it. Job could have had a completely different reaction to what happened to him, and that would have changed everything. Depends on how we react to it. So we're thinking about the fruit of trouble. Trouble can drive you to God, or trouble can drive you away from God. A lot of people in this life, they have trouble, and that is exactly how they allow it to affect them. They allow it to drive them away from the Lord instead of driving them to. It can, the same sun that brings a drought brings the flowers in the spring. It's the same sun. But it's how we receive it. Trouble can soften your heart, but it can also harden your heart. Trouble can get you on speaking terms with the Lord. Make you pray. That's the fruit of trouble. Or a lot of times in people's lives, trouble can get them not to want to talk to God. They think, and it's a wrong way of thinking, but when trouble comes, they look at the Lord and they say, "The Lord done this to me. I'm not talking to Him." That's never God's purpose in allowing trouble to come into our lives. He wants us to talk to Him. Just like if my children have trouble, I don't want them to stop talking to me. I want to help them. I love them. I want the best for them. I want to try to get them where they need to be. Trouble, though, can go one way or another. A good fruit of trouble is that it causes us to pray. That's the good fruit, number one, prayer. The Bible said in Psalms 34 and verse number 6, it says, "This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles." He had the right reaction when trouble came. He cried, he prayed unto the Lord, and the Lord heard him, and the Lord helped him. Psalms 20 and verse number 1, the Bible said, "The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble." Boy, I like that. The day of trouble comes. Does the Lord hear you? Or do you get silent on the Lord? When the day of trouble comes, do you think, "Well, I'm strong enough, I'm smart enough, I'm able enough, I'm self-sufficient, I can handle this"? Boy, it'd be good if you just learned that the Lord would hear from you. The day of trouble comes. "Lord, this poor man cried and the Lord heard him and delivered him out of all of his troubles," is what the Bible says. Psalms chapter number 50 and verse 15 says, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me." When trouble comes, first reaction we ought to have is prayer. We ought to call out unto the Lord. That's first thing. And I realize a bee sting is a very small thing. But I did call out unto the Lord. I said, "Lord, help. Lord, I want to be able to go to church and preach tonight. I should have went a little farther." Because He allowed me to come and preach, and then it started swelling up after church. And I spent about 3 days like a marshmallow is what I felt like. And then I'm all right this morning. So the Lord heard me, and He answered me, and He gave me what I asked for. I should have said, "And I'd like to not swell up at all. Or have to go to the..." I said, "Over in urgent care." And they ought to rename that. And they called it fast med. That's a lie. And there wasn't even anybody in there. I thought, I've hit it good. There's one couple in there when I went in. I said, praise the Lord. I'll get back there. They'll give me a shot. Get to go home. Got stuff to do. And I looked at them. I said, how long have y'all been here? They said, hour and a half. And I kept seeing that urgent. And I just, you know how I thought, where's the urgency? I should have told him I couldn't breathe good. She asked me. But trouble ought to cause us to call out to the Lord. Doesn't matter where, why, or what the reason, but when trouble comes, we ought to direct our eyes upward. We ought to look to the Lord. E.M. Bounds said this about trouble. He said prayer, he's a great writer on prayer. He said prayer sees God's hand in trouble and prays about it. And I thought about that as I was sitting in non-urgent care. I thought, Lord, why am I here? I prayed this. Lord, is there somebody I'm supposed to talk to? Is my path supposed to cross with someone that I would not normally be around? That didn't seem to be the case. I said, Lord, is it me? I need to examine. Lord, what's going on? Why? Lord, why? What are you trying to teach me? What do I need to learn about this when trouble comes? E.M. Bounds said, prayer sees God's hand in trouble and prays about it. Nothing more truly shows our helplessness than when trouble comes. You couldn't prevent it. You could if you could, but you can't. You and I are totally helpless sometimes about what comes in our lives. You can't do anything about it. Trouble proves that. Trouble proves that you and I need God in our lives. We need the Lord. Nothing more truly shows our helplessness than when trouble comes. It brings the strong man low. It discloses our weakness. It brings a sense of helplessness. Blessed is he who knows how to turn to God in times of trouble. Blessed is he that knows to turn to God in times of trouble. When trouble comes, and it comes to all. Young people, old people, all of us. First reaction to trouble ought to be prayer. But I'll tell you, and one thing about trouble, it eventually comes to pass. Time and distance is a wonderful healer when it comes to trouble. We may go through something for a long time. But I started out in Revelation chapter number 7 about these that came out of great tribulation. But you know that when they were in heaven and praising the Lord and worshiping Him, and the Word of God says that they'll hunger no more, they'll thirst no more, the sun, the heat will not bother them, they'll live in the presence of the Lamb. The Bible said that God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. No wonder they were standing there praising the Lord. You know, another fruit of trouble is thanksgiving and praise. They weren't up in heaven grumbling about what had happened to them down here on the earth. They was up there praising the Lord. They was thanking the Lord, although they'd come out of great tribulation. That is a fruit of trouble in our lives, and it's a very odd thing, but you know, most of the time when things are just going perfect, we're not praising Him, we're not thanking Him. But when a little trouble comes along and maybe we can begin to see God's hand in it or see the light at the end of the tunnel, what it causes us to do, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for that bee sting. That really helped me. Thank you, Lord, for that trouble. Somebody said, if God was a protection, why did He allow it to happen? Well, I'm just thankful He didn't allow the rest of them to come out and sting me. There's different ways of looking at it. How many bees is in a hive? 60,000. You'd have had my funeral yesterday. You'd be saying, we're going to have to find a preacher. Ours, they had to dig an extra big hole because he swole up so big. Praise the Lord, trouble comes. But it could be worse. That's real help, isn't it? Don't tell somebody that's going through trouble. Just don't tell them, you know, that's bad, but it could be worse. That does not help at all. But as we come through trouble in our lives, eventually we'll come to the place we'll look and we'll say, thank you, Lord. I praise you. I see the good even in the trouble. I'd like for us to have our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning.